Life's but a song, so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today, well, he's the bestie of the pod and our live theater correspondent. I believe that's what his title is. It's Aaron Troy, everyone!
Wee. Hello, everyone. Hello.
I threw us off last time by giving you a movie, and now it's like, all right, we're back to film stage productions.
We're back to film stage productions, and also, happy Asian Heritage Month.
Happy Asian Heritage Month. Yes.
Asian. I think it's technically Asian American History Month.
AAPI.
I don't remember what we actually call it. For those who don't know who I am Asian. Just look at the Instagram. You'll see me. It's me. I'm South Korean.
All right. I was about to ask what your heritage is.
South Korean. Yep.
Because what we're about to talk today, which is the 2016 filmed version of the show Allegiance.
Yes.
They deal with Japanese people. American people.
Japanese Americans. But let's be honest.
When you cast the show, you're just like Asian.
Well, not even that. But let's also be honest. Historically, once we get into the show. But historically, what happens in the show, they were targeting quote-unquote Japanese. But it was essentially any Asian person. Because let's be honest.
Americans are white and dumb. Yeah.
And
the white Americans are dumb, I should say.
It's a fact of life. They see someone who's Asian and they assume Japanese, Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Very rare. Like, I get assumed to be, well, no, here's the thing. I get assumed to actually be Samoan a lot because I'm short.
Of your build?
I'm short and very stocky. Like, I have a barrel chest, I'm muscular. So a lot of people assume I'm Samoan. I'm like, close-ish, just like half an ocean over.
So Allegiance, the book was written by Mark Aceto, Jay Kuo, and Lorenzo Tion. Music and lyrics by Jay Kuo, which I looked him up. This is the only thing he's written. The other things he's credited as, he's been a producer. So,
And he's heavily in politics now, I believe.
Oh, good for him. It was
I'm linked with him on LinkedIn.
Oh, look at you. It was directed by Stafford Arima and Lorenzo Tion. I believe Lorenzo Tion only did like the film directing. I don't think he directed the stage production. And according to IMDb, a Broadway musical about the impact of forced internment of Japanese families during World War II. Much of the story is based on George Takei's actual experience as a young boy in the internment camps. So, happy fun times, everybody.
Yes, this is the happiest musicals.
Oh my God.
But also, so I don't know if you knew this. I saw this live in 2016.
I did not know that. I was hoping you would.
I saw this live in 2016 because a 98% Asian cast of a musical that automatically is like, oh, I should see this. I should know what this is about. So I saw it in 2016. I was happy to revisit it and watch it again. Because it's such an important story, but yeah. I wish it was told better.
So I'm not going to lie. I had to look up because I wanted to look up Jay Kuo. I believe I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. I'm so
I'm
not. But we know I like to fuck up last names because my brain doesn't work. But listening to this music, a lot of it felt tropey for this type of musical. So, like the big swelling of the Act One finale, the
It was
serious nature of the
in the
music.
style of music. I would say it was trying to be a contemporary Miss Saigon, Les Mis without being an operetta, essentially, without being all sung through. Because they have some weird
Yes.
recitative spots in some of the songs. The other issue I had is that some of the songs don't really make harmonic sense. Like they make some weird intervals in the music, which I'm like, it doesn't, there, for me, if you all didn't know, I went to a conservatory music, so
Oh, la-di-da.
la-di-da. But tonally, there's some weird just writing of some of the songs, because specifically the one that I can pick out specifically is Lay Us Along Is Higher.
Yeah, I was about
There's a weird, like, it feels like it should keep, like, your ear naturally says, oh, this should like
keep going
go
up
keep going
higher and
up. But
higher.
there's like the second higher steps down and then it goes back up. And I'm like, this, like, the what it makes sense in kind of the song, because it's mimicking the idea of swinging, because that's a whole big image in the song of swinging. You go up, you go down, go higher. That kind of thing. It mimics that, but it doesn't, unless you're really a musical theater geek like ourselves, you don't really pick that out. So your ear just says something's wrong with this, and it doesn't
That
really make sense.
I didn't pick up. What I picked up was it felt like it wasn't written for her. Even though she's the one who did the San Diego out of town tryout and then did the Broadway run, it felt like they didn't take into consideration her voice specifically for this. So there was a lot of things that felt like it was a little higher than it needed to be, or higher for her than she usually sings. Because there are moments where it sounded, like in Higher as well, it felt like there was supposed to be big belty moments, but I'm not sure if they wrote it too high for Lea Salonga, or if maybe she's not a belter.
I mean, she is a belter. I've heard her belt
But
things.
she's not like
It's
the
just,
belt. She's not the belt for this isn't right.
it didn't sit in her voice well.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with all the songs here. Also, let's just get into it. They underused Lea Salonga in this, like, criminally underused her. Like, she needed more songs. There's a lot in, so
Like they're
I'm
trying to
trying
draw
to find,
parallels between the two, the brother and sister of Kay and Sam Kimura, played by Lea Salonga and Telly Long, respectively. But because this is centered around George Takei's life, it is semi-autobiographical because I think he wasn't old enough to be the character of Sam, but he witnessed probably somebody like Sam in a camp, and he's in the show, and he's probably a producer of the show. So like George Takei probably wanted more focus on the soldier than the sister when it should have been equal time, literally like split the stage in half, which they did a lot, but I mean like do more. Like stage left is her, stage right is him, always. And then just keep going that.
I think here's a so my big things is Act Two, surprisingly, Act Two is stronger than Act One. It's usually the reverse for me. But Act Two, I felt, was a lot stronger. The pacing was a lot better in Act Two. Overall, I think the show I can tell that there were many edits made in the show, and there was definitely weird, like, not for this film version, but I mean just in general.
Just
Like,
the
you
book
can tell
itself.
the book had been chopped up because there are weird skips. The through line doesn't quite work sometimes. I mean, it's supposed to be a memory play, and which I like that setup. It just felt like we sped through a lot of stuff. Like, we were trying to hit this long period of time, but at the same time, like, it's just interesting because I think one of the biggest conflicts happens near the end of the show, and then it kind of resolves. You know what I
Well,
mean?
because the well, so the thing is, throughout the show, there is also one of the conflicts with Sam is like he wants to join the army and defend his country, and everyone else is in the camps are being like, "Bitch, look around you. Why do you want to defend this?" Which to me, with that argument, I can't pick a side because I think both are right in their own ways. So like, Sam has the right to want to go and defend his country, America. But yes, everyone else has the right to be like, "Bitch, what are you doing? Like, we're stuck in basically we're stuck in an internment camp." And I'm glad Frankie like eventually equated it to concentration camps, because I'm like, they're the same, except you're treated slightly better than a concentration camp.
It is so
So then
I
later in the show, sorry, I just have to, later in the show, when they are forcing other people in the internment camps to be drafted, I'm like, you can't have it both ways. Like, you put them in these camps because you're racist, because Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. Like, okay, so you're snatching up all Asian people, presumed Japanese, but like you said, you see not a non-white features on somebody and you assume they are Japanese at this point. You put them in camps and you tell them that they're not Americans, but then you force them to join the draft, and if they are draft dodgers, you arrest them. Like, what the fuck?
It is,
Sorry, I got very politically angry at this
Well, yeah,
with
I mean,
this
that's the
show.
whole with this show, and I think
I mean,
there,
like,
so.
I'm angry with, like, as this show is angry.
Exactly.
So yes, I yeah.
Yes. So there's a lot to unpack here, but the one thing that I have kind of, being Asian, being an Asian American, being adopted, also being raised by white people, I have a very unique perspective on this. Specifically, Sammy's character, with a lot of Asian Americans in general. There is an interesting dichotomy of, how do I put this, of identity, because there are Asian Americans who don't identify quite as their Asian race. So there are Korean Americans, Japanese Americans, Chinese Americans, any Asian Americans who relate more to being, quote unquote, American, to water down, white, Caucasian. They don't see themselves as Asian. They see themselves as Americans because they were born here, they were raised here. I was not born here, I was adopted, but I was raised by two Caucasian peoples in a predominantly Caucasian area. So I didn't have other Asian experiences or people to really understand that identity. So this is something that I personally am, like, going to therapy for. But understanding my personal identity, as I don't fully identify as Korean because that's not how I was raised, yet when people see me, they only see an Asian American, they only see an Asian man, where I don't see that or identify quite as that because I don't feel that I have a weird, I it's weird because I don't feel like I have the right to be like, say I'm a Korean man because I wasn't raised in Korea. I wasn't raised by Koreans. So it's a very weird dichotomy. And the thing is, it's not exclusively me. There's also a lot of Asian, specifically adopted Asian kids who were raised by white people, who struggle with this. But then not even just adoptees, a lot of Asian kids who were born in the US struggle with this as well. So I see that as coming from Sammy, because Sammy's character is born in the US. He is a US citizen. I'm assuming that Kay is also, but it's never quite distinguished if she was like a young child when they immigrated, or if
She
she
was
was
into
born in
more the
America. Yeah.
traditions, because
So
it
it's,
isn't. There's that scene early on when they're hanging stuff on a tree. The
yes.
prayers, is it prayers
It's
or
no,
like
it's wishes. Is like
wishes?
wishes or something like that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and Sammy goes, I can't read this because it's in Japanese, of course. And like the dad is just like, ha ha ha, you're American, blah blah blah, whatever. So kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like what you were just saying about how he, I guess he feels more Americanized because he even has, is it him that says like, I've only lived here and this is all I know?
Yeah,
Like,
because I mean, he is Americanized. His family, like most Asian immigrants and immigrants in general, they come to the US and they want a better life for their kids. And so they give their kids, they make sure that their kids get everything that they can get. I mean, Sammy is a example. I mean, the show starts with him coming home from college, and
he's
he's coming
such a
home from
mess of a
college.
character, by the way, because he's all over the
There's
place.
He's all over the place. We can get into that in a second, but he's home from college, but he did not get into law school, which is a huge deal, because his dad is like, "You didn't get into law school. How dare you?" But also, it seems like, again, it seems like there is a lot of stuff that just character-wise feel like, I wish they would dive. That's another issue I had. I wish they would dive into the characters a little more, because we don't. We just kind of get a weird surface level of everything with a lot of the characters. And so we don't really see there's bits and pieces of it, but I wish they would dive a little more into like the relationship between him and his father, because they make it a big deal later on in the show that Sammy's father is proud of him. And Sammy assumed that he never was. But at the same time, I'm like, but we never re like, we just see kind of this surface level of his father just disagreeing with him. But we never like, and we get the line that Sammy is like, well, he's always blamed me for, he's never liked me because I killed my mother, because Sammy's mom, there, Kay and Sammy's mom died giving childbirth to Sammy. And that's the reason that he thinks his father hates him.
Right, and then the one scene that is outside of the camp is him coming home, and the dad is disappointed in him, which is a trope I've seen in other Asian-based films, television stories being told.
Yeah, I mean, it's a trope, but it's also something that is true. Like,
Right,
it's a trope that's very much based in truth.
but then like that's it, 'cause then the rest of the show is in the camps, and like things are tense because
Yeah.
you're basically a prisoner, but they're not calling you a prisoner because they can't do that. That's very un-American.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick question. Why does the dad get arrested? Did he
Got
not fill out
arrested. No,
the questionnaire?
he refused to fill out the questionnaire.
That's why he got arrested?
Yes.
Okay, that is dumb.
Yeah.
God, I hate white people.
I mean, the unfortunate thing is like, a lot of the major events that happen in this, like the questionnaires, that kind of thing, happened. And that's the thing that,
I'm well aware.
yeah, and that's, and like the something that I wish, and I think it's mostly because this was filmed for stage and you can see it a little more because they have close-ups and things. But I, even when I saw live, I feel like I remember this. Everything looked too clean. Like when they were, especially when they were in the camps, I'm like, everything looks too clean. And I know that like
I know theater has some sort of like.
theater has to have like I get logistically like certain things, but I'm like, they describe how bad the camp is, but I never really see it because you, all their clothes look fine. They all look put together for the most part, for most of the show. It's not until like literally like the second half of the show where, but also when they're like in the trenches, like in the war, also look very clean. So that's a whole nother thing. I'm a stickler for those things. I just, there's design things that I wish were done differently.
I think I forgave that while watching this.
I think one of the biggest issues that I had, I was like, and they may, I don't remember them having it when I saw it live, but I wish they would have used more stage haze and stage fog to represent the amount of dust that is in the camp because they reference it so many times. And I'm like, but everything looks so clean. Like everything looks so clean. How?
So when a
Yeah.
theater is doing this, make sure you include haze or dry ice or something, just so you can
Well,
appease Aaron.
here's the thing. I would love to take this on as a project and rework the show because I think there's, I made, because I have my trusty notebook, I made notes. And one of my biggest things is I'm like, I made a note. I was like, this show has such good bones. It just needs molded a little more. Like it feels like they, I know they did it out of, they did two out of towns, I think, one out of town. I thought they did it at the Alliance Theater in Atlanta and also in San Francisco, but it could be wrong.
So it had its, according to the Wikipedia page, it had its first reading at Japanese American National Museum in 2009.
Yeah.
As well as readings in New York in 2010. It performed in 2011, a workshop at the Old Globe Theater in San Diego.
San Diego. Okay.
And then through Indiegogo, George Takei raised money so that it could have like a full premiere at the Old Globe in 2012.
Okay.
And then it opened on Broadway in 2015 at the Longacre Theater, which, so the San Diego 2012 production, the world premiere, George Takei, Lea Salonga, Telly Long, and Michael K. Lee, who played Frankie, all transferred to Broadway. Tatsuo Kimura, Hannah Campbell, and Mike Masaoka, those characters, are the only ones that I'm seeing, did not transfer. We're not transfers. Also, side note, Michael K. Lee, have you looked up this actor?
I haven't, but I know that he's,
He's an American
yeah.
actor and singer based in Seoul. And if you look at it, like his credits on Wikipedia, he has done Jesus Christ Superstar so many times,
Oh, yeah.
playing different parts though. But later in life, or late more recently, he's been playing Jesus. But I'm just like, damn, like get it. He was so to me, Frankie was an interesting character because at first I didn't trust him and I couldn't explain why. But then I realized, oh no, he's a revolutionary, so I like him more. But in that scene in Act Two where Hannah gets shot, the nurse, even though he's part of the scuffle and it's a white soldier that he's fighting against, I was just like, you know that he got blamed, that Frankie got blamed for this.
Oh, 100%.
'Cause that's what happens with these cases.
Yeah.
Even and yeah. Oh, I fucking hated that soldier. I hated all of the soldiers in this. And even Sammy. So Sammy wants to be a soldier to fight for his country, whatever. And then he goes to war and he's like, uh-oh, I made an oopsie mistake. And then he comes back and he's mad at Frankie for drafting the dodge, dodging the draft. And I'm like, dude. Like, you just, we saw you go, I made a mistake and I don't like war. Basically, he doesn't outright say that, but he basically does.
Yeah, I think he just, again, Sammy's character is kind of all over the map.
Yeah. Although towards the
But
end, I wrote down, I have zero empathy for Sam. He made his decisions and didn't like the consequences until it was too late.
yeah, I th but here's the thing, and this is the thing with Sam, is that I wish that they would do a little more character work with Sam, like within the show, mostly because, again, there's such good bones there and there's such good like connections, but they're not fleshed out well enough. Like his whole thing with him realizing that the war was that he was kind of used for the war, and then coming home and then getting mad at Frankie, that whole thing is just his stubbornness, which is exactly like his father.
Yeah.
And it's there's such good parallels between him and his father, which makes sense that like he later on he gets the one thing that's the Time magazine, which again, I would be more emotionally moved by some of this stuff if it if there were deeper connections within the show. Like there is so much that's just like skimmed through very quickly that I never had, and this may sound weird, I never felt like I sat in a moment. Everything felt like it was like boom, 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 here we go. Boom, boom,
Yeah.
boom, here we go. Boom, 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 here we go. And like you said, a lot of the music very formulaic, and I felt like that was part of it, because part of it felt so much like I know where this is going, but at the same time, not. And it, but it just, there was never any like moments that I could sit in until the duet with Sammy and Key in Act Two, which is one of the best scenes in the entire show.
You mean the penultimate song when he comes back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The duet between them, where they argue and they like fully fall out, and she rips his purple heart off of his jacket. I'm like, this is what I wanted to see like 45 minutes ago. Like, I feel like what was happening in the world, yes, very high conflict, but the way that the show is written, it didn't feel like the conflict at the end of Act One was high enough. It just didn't feel elevated enough. And then Act Two started, and it just kind of was like, oh, we're just kind of, everything just kind of felt like straight across. And then we get to that penultimate duet between the two of them, and it's like, whoo, real high stakes.
And then crash
And
and
they
burn.
fall and crash down and end the show. I'm like, what? Like, that should have happened. But at the same time, I get it, because like, there's no reason to, like, you can't put that earlier in the show unless you put it near the beginning
Yeah.
and make the
What?
memory show
Yeah.
from
So
like that point. Yeah.
the thing as well with K in Act Two. So the Act One ends where Kay is siding with Frankie, who, and she's like, we're gonna stay and fight and we're gonna stand up for our family. Sammy goes off to war. Act 2K, though, like, I thought she'd be more mad at her brother than she was. Because, like, she carries around that note while she's heavily pregnant. That is the one and only letter that he wrote to her. And then, before that penultimate song, she's talking to her baby and being like, Uncle Sammy's home. Let's have fun with Sammy. And I'm just like, did you just like have fart this kid out and forget the conflict that you had right
Yeah,
before?
it's there's just that was the thing I had. I noted there were some weird tone shifts that didn't quite work for me.
Because
And I
granted,
think
yes,
it's,
it's supposed to be like 3 or 3 to 4 years
but I
past.
also think it's just, I mean, I'm not familiar with the director's work. This, I don't, I think there are some directorial things that could have influenced. But yeah, I feel like Kay should have been more angry at Sammy throughout, and it just didn't seem like that. I also wish that they would have her relationship with shoot, what's her name? The nurse,
Hannah.
Hannah. I wish that they would have made that a little stronger. I wish that Hannah would have been the one who smuggled out the letters.
Yes.
Like,
Yes.
why wasn't that part of this? Like, it
Yes.
should have been part of it so that the stakes are higher when Hannah gets killed. And then you're like, oh, this makes so much more sense that she would carry this a little long. Like, there were just things that I feel were missing. I also think, here's the thing. The likelihood of George listening to this is very low. But George, if you're listening to this, I love you. You trailblazed for so many Asian performers. But I think part of the issue with this show was that there are some weird things that they gave George to use him more that felt off.
I had a
Like,
very.
I love the little like things that they put in for him. But then like his death scene was a little weird for me.
I had a really funny thought during that death scene. That's not appropriate by any means, but the way that it was staged, though, I was ready for him to just like fly, just be
Yeah,
like
it was
flying up to
staged.
the
I mean,
rafters.
it was staged a little weird, but I think it was, I mean, honestly, I think it was more of a, I think it was just more of a physical thing. Like, because he was in his late 60s, early 70s when he did this, I think.
George Takei was born in 1937. So he was in the 70s, 80s? He's in it.
So like he's still, I mean, he's still alive, so
He's still alive. He was probably like almost 80 when he was doing
yeah,
this.
which I think specifically with the death scene, I think with him, they were not going to be like, hey, 80-year-old man that is famous, fall on the stage. Like
Right.
that's, I mean, that it was just, the way that that was staged was so he could be safe. But I think that there is maybe another way to do it. I don't know. There's some choices that were made that I was like, big question mark. There are things that I wish they would tie back in. I wish they would have tied and made a through line with the summer festival at the beginning with the wishes. I wish that would have been some sort of through line because that would have been a really cool thing to keep going through. Like,
Because the one thing I will say that is presented in this, and I'm not sure how true it is, but it seems like it actually happened, was the people in the camps found a sense of community, and they, because like, yes, they're prisoners, but they're not. At least the way that it's presented in this that I can talk about, it feels like they had a little more leeway with things that they
Well,
can
yeah,
do.
because this was not a labor camp, and they specify that because then the men who are the men who the people who don't answer the questionnaire, who
Or dodge the
dodge the
draft.
draft, they get sent to a labor camp, which is like an actual concentration camp.
Right.
Like,
So like, because there are moments when like there's the dance, or when right before the grandfather passes away, like you see them.
he has a garden. They
There's a
have.
garden. They when they sing, Gaman, Gaman. I'm sorry if
Gaman.
I'm Gaman. Like it felt like they were re inspiring each other to remind themselves of who they are, for those that do identify with their Japanese side, or those that want to learn about their Japanese side, a la potentially K. Because, like we said, we don't know how she. They never really specify how she feels, but yeah, and like I had to look it up because the way that they sang Ishikara Ishi, it to me, a dumb white American, it did feel like an actual like children's song in a way, but no, it's written for the show. So, but I was watching it, and I was like, that's like cutesy choreography as compared to what the rest of it is. So to me, I was just like, I wonder if that's like an actual historical song or something, you know? Nope, made up for the show. So good for them. I see what you're saying, that I wish that there was some sort of tying in pre-camp life to current camp life.
I feel like there could have been more of a through. I think when I get the chance to work on this show and
Oh.
rework the show, because I think this is an important, I think this is A, an important story to be told, B, specifically important to what's happening right now
Oh
in the
my God,
US.
yes. Oh my God, yes.
It
The
would be a
st
perfect show to be done, but it needs reworked. But
Like if
my biggest thing is going to be there needs to be a consistent through line. And I think utilizing that Summer Harvest Festival is like the best way to do that, because then it also shows the progression of time as well. So you're like this one, then da, 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 and then right, I it would make sense that they could have like a little kind of thing for right before grandfather dies, like in his garden, he has a little tree and they tie things to the tree. That would be great there. And then the very end of the show, there would be, rather than just the funeral, they could have like another little, it could end again, summer festival kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like there could be something.
Plus, I feel like with the character Mike Masaoka, I feel like there needs to be more of an underline on how he feels about everything. Because you can see it in Greg Watanabe's performance of it, but I feel like I need him to say something. Because obviously, he's fighting for the rights of the people in the camps, even though he came up with the idea. I think it was him that came up with the idea. But you see it when like the soldiers, like I called it the fallen soldiers segment se sequence, where it was those at war died, and to me, like you're seeing these conflicting, like war, and then the ensemble is doing some like Japanese choreography, it looked like in the background. So it's kind of like it's a visual duality of him being like, oh, we're at war and I'm an American, but also I am of Japanese descent and everything, all the shit that's going on that I'm dealing with. So I kind of wish that there was. So when you rework it, can you work on him a little bit too? Just like a line. I think I just need a line. I don't think I need a
Yes.
whole
I
song or
mean,
anything
here's
like
the
that.
thing. Honestly, I would probably pull him out of the show mostly because I think he's almost a completely different show because he has his own,
Oh, you're right.
like, he has his own thing where he's conflicted and it just kind of muddies everything else that's happening because you already have you have Sammy's story, you have Kay's story that involves
Frankie.
revolutionary with Frankie, and I mean here's the two main stories you need to the two main stories you need to worry about, in my opinion, Sammy and his father's relationship,
And Sammy and Kay's
Sammy
relationship.
and Kay's relationship. Those are what you have to focus on. Within that, you have the
Frankie.
conflict with Frankie. You have the
Right.
conflict with Hannah and Hannah
Yeah.
and Kay. So, like, they're those are that's what you need to focus on.
Yeah, you're right. Cuz
I think
there's
the it's just the other D plot is just too much. Like it adds a whole nother thing where you have another character who is very much like Sam. Like that's the thing is that character is almost redundant because he's almost exactly like Sam in the sense that he's Japanese, but he doesn't consider himself Japanese in a sense, but then he is Japanese. Like it, again, is a weird identity thing with him. So
By the way,
that's literally a whole nother musical. Like that could be a whole nother musical.
Mike Masaoka in the San Diego world premiere was played by Paolo Montalban. And I'm like, why did he come to Broadway?
Because he busy.
I know he busy, but
That
like,
man is so busy. Like
what was he doing in 2015?
he probably something in Manila. He goes back to the Philippines all the time.
Well, he did a couple of TV spots, and that's it. So, what was he doing in 2015? Well, the other thing too about Mike Masaoka, which I don't know if you saw this, but it makes me agree with you to cut him because in the ensemble songs that he's in, like within the ensemble, he is not singing. To which I was just like, why? Now I'm focusing on him not singing instead of listening, paying attention to what's going on around me. Because I'm just like, oh, you're not singing, and I need to know why. It's bothering me. It's bothering me.
Like I just think the character, I don't think that character needs to be there. I think some of the lines need to be there. I think some of the maybe interaction, but I don't think you need as much of him.
Which I think you can do that in theater, either pulling the audio from the real person or just have one of your actors record the lines and just it being pure audio.
Or use it as a
Because
paper, something like you
I
could
don't
do the
think we need to
audio, you
see
could do,
him. I don't think we need
you
to
don't
see
need to
him.
see him. You don't need to see the conversation he has with Sammy later, like the few conversations he has with Sammy. You don't need any of that. Like, because him and Sammy are basically the same person. And that's the thing. And so the only difference is Sammy has that realization that he was used as a pawn, whereas Mike still stands behind it. And he's like, because he even has a line later where he's like something like, I know I did the right thing, or da, 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 da. Like, and I mean, he's the one who suggested the suicide missions, essentially. Like, he suggested, recommended all these things because he kind of took the for the greater good, like, argument. Like, we can lose so many people for the good of all the other people. I'm like, no. But yes, when I rework this, that character will probably be taken out.
But I will say though, overall, I did enjoy the show. I know we're coming at it, we're being critical with it. It's theater that I don't see a lot, It's like historical fiction where it's a very serious matter, which, there's still a lot of those. There's still like a lot. We're not talking plays because plays is another category that we're not talking about on this podcast. But in terms of musicals, we don't really see a lot of this type. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I am a little miffed that it wasn't at least nominated for something in the Tony Awards. I don't know what it would be nominated for, but just some sort of representation. Because like you said, this is 98% Asian American,
I mean,
Asian slash Asian
unfortunately,
American
yeah.
actors in
I
this.
mean, I think unfortunately it just wasn't like, I mean, we talked about all the issues. So
Was
we
this the
talked about
same
like,
year as Hamilton, though? Like the
I don't
Hamilton
remember.
Tonys?
I don't
Okay.
remember if Allegiance was that year or the year after.
Got it.
But all I know is, even so, we already talked about all kind of the shortcomings of the show. And I think that, unfortunately, ultimately is the biggest issue, is that it was overall a show I enjoyed watching. It was overall something that I think is very important. It's a story that not a lot of people know, especially a lot of Americans do not know this story. They don't realize that the Japanese American, well, Japanese Americans specifically, but like Asian Americans overall, were put in internment camps during World War II. People don't know that. They think, I mean, we have whole groups of people that deny that the Holocaust happened. So I'm like, but that's the thing, is like, this is history that should not be and cannot be ignored or erased.
Right. And it's good that
And
there's that at least the musical theater community now has it represented.
it's represented and it needs to stay. I need regional productions of this to happen, and I need.
So I was just reading, by the way, after it closed on in 2016 on Broadway, there was in 2018, an LA production at the Japanese American Cultural and Community Center. And then in 2023, there was an off West End production at Charing Cross Theater where Telly Leung and George Takei reprised their roles. But yeah, I see. Yeah, I think this needs to. I feel like before that there's like any sort of revival or any other thing, I'm not going to put it on your shoulders, but I think it does need another pass by somebody, both music and book, because it's like it's just like the bare bones right now.
I wouldn't say bare bones. I would say it's almost there. It is almost there. It's like,
We need a Tommy Tune or somebody like
well,
that.
it's one of those things where it's like, it is, this is such a dumb analogy, but it's like, it's basically like, if you know any, like, I don't really know anything about rock polishing, but it's almost to its perfect amount of polish, but it just needs to be in the tumbler a little longer.
Yeah.
So like, is it there, it's almost there. Like, I think that I could be wrong, but it feels like I say this even though it took years, it still feels like it was rushed to Broadway. Like, it feels like they were pushing it to get on Broadway as soon as he possibly could.
Where I feel like if there was a revival to
Which,
come out
I mean,
now, it is more fitting given the political climate of America currently.
yes.
Where if instead of being soldiers, they're ICE agents, nothing would have changed.
Yeah. I mean, the other things that I think would be interesting, but again, would have to be, I'd have to look this up, because dramaturgically, it would be have to something that'd be looked up a little. I think it would be interesting if one of the other soldiers, or even Hannah, were black.
Yeah, because they only mention them by, there's one line about how they should have the Japanese fight like the black
Yeah.
troop. Is that the word I want to use?
Battalion?
Battalion? Sure. Clearly, I know army terms.
Yes. But it would be, I think that may be too much. Like, and when I say too much, it may add another, an unnecessary layer to something that's already very, very racially based. But it might be, I'm just positing that it could be another interesting there. I think specifically with Hannah, but
I see, and I don't think it should be Hannah.
or I mean, honestly, it could be the asshole soldier.
It could be the asshole soldier or one of his lackeys, because he also does the he doubles as the big band slash like victory trio, or whatever they're
Which
called.
yeah, which also that's a weird song, but I understand the reason
USO
for that
Pilots,
song.
that's it.
But I understand the reason for that song because it's supposed to give this great juxtaposition about everyone celebrating that we won. But hey, did you really win? Like, you get to go home now
With $25, which
with
I know,
$25.
which
You
wasn't really a
proven
lot. It was a lot, but wasn't a lot back
it wasn't
then.
a lot. Like, you is like you approved that you're not enemies now. So go.
Oopsie-ma-goopsie for sending you to internment camps as well as labor camps. Uh-oh.
Oops. Uh-oh. Our bad.
Our bad. Here's
But not really.
$25 and a bus
Like,
ticket.
that's the other thing. I personally need to do more research on this because I don't know. Again, something. It wasn't taught in schools. I didn't know about any of this until later on in life.
I feel like it was like a footnote that I learned about. Because obviously, we focus more on the war itself, not on the American side, because we did nothing wrong, Aaron. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm totally
Exactly.
kidding. But yeah, I, yeah.
But like, I don't know. I can't remember.
So, how about this, Aaron? When you're turning Allegiance into a movie, the music, the stage musical into a movie musical, do the work and figure it out. How's
I
that?
mean, I have to revamp it for the stage first.
Okay.
Like,
Okay.
that's the big thing. But no, what I was saying is I need to do more research on it. But I feel like maybe it was Obama, maybe it was before Obama, but I feel like the US formally apologized at some point, and it was
Fairly
somewhat
recent.
recently. I want to say it was during the Obama administration, maybe. I could be wrong. I don't.
There's so many other things as well that we need to apologize for that
I
we
mean, there is
haven't.
a lot, but there. I mean, there.
Which is
Overall,
always,
here's the thing.
it's always funny to about this, and not, it's not funny, haha. It's just funny, like, America was founded by immigrants stealing land from people who were living here already. And to have and to call somebody a foreign alien or an immigrant or like to be racist against them, it's like, do you not know? Which I know you don't because you're actively trying these days to make people not learn this, but you don't know that. You're on stolen land as well. So the irony of it all. We need to live that one episode of the Twilight Zone revival where Jennifer Goodwin is like an actual alien from outer space, but she's playing like a racist white woman. So everyone needs to experience that, I feel
I
like.
mean, sure, I've never seen it, so yeah.
The Jordan Peele Twilight Zone revival. So good. Anyway, anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
I mean, just like I think we've covered everything. I wish that the Hannah Sammy relationship was fleshed out a little better. But then again, I wish all the relationships were fleshed out a little better. There's a lot. There's a lot. We've already talked about it. Here's the thing. When it comes down to it, I think this is not a perfect show. It's a very entertaining show. It's a very important show. And if you've not seen it, it's on Broadway HD that you get through Prime. Or if you don't want to go through Prime, just go through the website.
Yeah, I had to re I had to revive my account.
I did too. It's on Broadway HD. Go watch it. Go rent it. Watch it.
Should.
It's highly worth it. I mean, if anything, just to see George Takei and Lea Salonga and Telly just kill it. Like, the performances are great.
Yeah.
Like,
George Takei singing though.
he's also in his
He's
80s.
almost 80.
So.
So, and I like that they were just like, we'll give you moments. We're not going to give you a full song, but we'll give you moments. He probably
Yeah.
went, good story, bro. Which also to think about historically, so George Takei was in an internment camp. They were released, is 1945 the last year of World War II? God damn it.
45 or
45,
46.
45. So then, if you think about it, 20 years later, he gets cast in Star Trek and becomes the icon that we know today. So it's just so
He was born in 32 or 39.
he was born in 37.
37. Yeah, halfway. So
Yeah.
he would have only been like,
He was in his 30s when he was cast in.
no, what I'm saying, when he was in the internment camp, he would have only been like 8, 9, 10.
Yep, 100%. And then, when was? Yeah, 1966 was Star Trek. So, about 20 years later, he becomes a huge star on television, which I hope the people who were like the soldiers in in charge of the internment camps watched it and shat a brick to be like, oh, I guess I should have been nicer to him. All right, let's get to Sharp and Flat, shall
Cool.
we?
Let's do it.
Sharp flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. Let's start with flats. And my first flat, say it with me. Ready? One, two, three. Racism.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, it should go
here's the
without
thing.
saying, but I had to say it, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, the unfortunate thing is it is a cornerstone of the show. That's the whole, like,
Right, but the
as
fact that it exists.
the oh, yes. The fact that racism exists, super flat, super,
Super
super
flat,
flat.
super flat. I'm flatting that it wasn't nominated for any Tonys. Again, I don't know what it would be nominated for, but at least something. Like, Lea Salonga should have been nominated, I think. At least. Or Telly.
I mean, I think maybe Telly. I don't think Leah had enough. Like, I don't think there was enough for
Even if
her in
she
the
was
show.
nominated for like supporting actress or featured actress, whatever they call it.
Still, I don't think there was enough.
Okay. And then my last flat is for the captions on Broadway HD saying speaking foreign language when they're clearly speaking Japanese.
Yeah, Broadway HD is not great about that.
It's not great. Which, okay, so like I liked that there wasn't a translation because obviously when you're watching it on stage, you're not seeing. There's no super titles or anything like that. But I kind of wish instead of saying, And this goes all platforms, by the way, not just Broadway HD. But we're in a day and age now in 2026 that you can say they're speaking, you just type out they're speaking Japanese. That's all I need. Or whatever foreign language, quote unquote, they're saying they're speaking in that moment. Just say it. Speaks Russian. Okay. Cool. But that's it for my flats. Do you have any flats?
Yeah. Other than obviously racism, other
Yeah,
the
yeah,
things
yeah.
that we've already done. One of my biggest flaws is the way the show was filmed.
Oh.
There were some weird camera angles, some weird like almost POV shots, which were weird.
Which
There was
didn't
just
really
some.
happen until Act Two, I noticed.
It feels like things changed with the way that it was being filmed midway through. But also, my biggest part of that was they added stupid muzzle flashes during the battle scene when they're fighting, they're shooting their guns. They added muzzle flashes. So like all those like when they're
Huh.
shooting all those lights, those are all added. They were added post-production for this film. It's
Oh.
not on stage because doing muzzle flashes, you'd have to use like blanks essentially. And they're not going to
Yeah.
use blanks with that many people shooting into the audience.
No.
So like that's not happening. Because even like on bigger battle shows, they usually do that with like overall lighting, with like things like that kind of thing. But they didn't do that, and I don't remember it in the stage show when I saw it. And then when I saw it on TV, on the film version, I'm like, why did they add these? Why were these added? These were unnecessary.
I may not have been paying attention at that moment, I'm not gonna lie. My phone was out a lot while watching this.
It was unnecessary. But yeah, I mean, that was honestly, that's my biggest flat. Like, we already talked about my other
Yeah.
issues with the show, but yeah, that was my biggest flat.
Okay. So sharps. I want to sharp. I do want to sharp the design of the show. I did like the set design and the costumes and the lighting of this presentation of it. I know it's not the most flashy costume wise, but I do like a good period piece. Also, I need to sharp the wigs for this because I could not see a lace front. I know they were there because
Yeah.
I could see them at points, but I didn't always see them. So I want to sharp the wig department of this show.
Oh, 100%. Especially because Telly had a wig on the entire time.
Yeah. Oh, he did. Okay, because I thought
And
I
he had a
saw that.
great, and that was a great wig because it looked like his hair.
Because I think I did see the lace line. You know what I'm talking about? You've worn wigs before, you know.
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, whenever you have like a lace front wig, there's always just like a little bit of lace that's supposed to blend into your skin. And from a distance, like you don't see it. But obviously we're filming it, so the way that they hit it was very well done. But like when you wrinkle your brows or you raise your eyebrows or something and you force wrinkles on your forehead, that's when you can notice
Yeah.
that lace front. So that's only when I noticed it, but like I couldn't see it on Hannah half the time,
Nope.
nor Leah Salonga could not see it on her. How do you say
Nope.
her last name? Am I saying it wrong?
Leah Salonga.
Leah Salonga. Okay. I think I'm switching the G and the N. Salonga, like I'm saying baloney or Bologna or whatever. Anyway, I do want to sharp the choreography because we got a great blend of like swing and Japanese. Like, I want to say traditional, but I don't know if that's the right term or traditional looking.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. Traditionally inspired.
Traditionally inspired, yeah. But then we get swing. So it's always fun. And I wasn't expecting like choreography in the show. I'm not gonna lie, because I knew this wasn't like a big song and dance show. I also want to sharp the women Just all the women.
Yeah.
Even Hannah, I'm including in this, just because, like I said, in a lot of the camp scenes, there's the sense of community, and the women are the ones that are like holding it, look like they were holding it together. And when you rewrite this or rework it, can you just like find some research to see if like maybe they did actually do the like when they write to newspapers and everything, like see if there's a little bit more of that for women. Just write that down as a note. And then my last sharp is for the fallen soldiers sequence, not the filming of it, because that's another one where it's like weird camera angles happening. But I did like the visual representation of Masaoka's mind and everything. I just wish we got to see more of it because, stupid cameras. And that's it. What about you? What are your
Cool.
sharps?
My sharps are specifically the confrontation song between Telly and Leo in Act Two, because it's one of the best scenes in the show. Personally, one of the best scenes, I think. The other sharps I have, I liked the end of Act One. I thought the Act One finale was strong, especially because Act One for me seemed to flutter a lot. Then Act One ended kind of much stronger, and then Act Two was a much stronger act, in my opinion. Just looking at my notes real fast. Just the performances. I'm gonna sharp them because they're good. The performances are good. Also, I'm just gonna sharp Lea Salonga's work ethic and forcing her to dance in that d dance number.
Yeah,
Because you have a legend, and she was like, yeah, sure, I'll dance. And you made her dance in a number. Cool.
would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist? I personally didn't write any down.
I would add higher if it was reworked, because the weird melodic line of higher, I like parts of it, and then other parts of it, I'm like, yeah.
I feel like they weren't really speaking to me to be like, listen to me outside of this. So I didn't write any
That's
down.
the unfortunate thing about this, is a lot of, again, the music was so formulaic that it just was kind of, it blends into all Broadway music,
I can't hum
unfortunately.
a single tune out of this one. I'm not gonna lie. But
Higher is the only one that I can kind of, and it's just the chorus of it.
yeah, I
And I think
think
it's because it's such a weird, like the middle, like higher is such a weird, like interval jump, that's why it sticks in my head.
I did like the blend of the reprises because they would reprise two songs in one. So I did like those, but I can't hum a single tune out of this. And on that note, Aaron, we're done with the episode.
Oh,
We did
hey.
Allegiance.
We did
Woo!
Allegiance.
What do you have to plug or promote?
Oh, I mean, y'all, listen, y'all have heard me a number of times on here. You know my shit. Find me on Instagram, True Aaron Choi. TikTok, same screen name. I stream video games. I'm a variety streamer on Twitch. That is True Choi Story on Twitch. And yeah, that's really it.
So when you rework this, do you want to direct it or do you want to also be in it?
I'd rather direct it
Okay.
than be in it.
I just wanted
And I
to
think
confirm because
it's,
it sounded like that was the way where you were going, but
oh yeah.
for now.
Well, the funny thing is, I always say, is the funny thing is, I am an actor who looks at things through a director's lens, even though I've not directed anything, but that's how I've always looked at things. is that I'm whenever I go see a show, I never go and I'm like, oh, I could play that role, that role, that role. My first thing is, oh, that's an interesting choice. Oh, the staging here is really cool. Oh, what was the concept? Why was this the idea of this? Like, I'm the person who reads the director's notes and all that. Also, that personally have issues with director's notes because if you have strong enough concept, you don't need to explain it in a director note, but that's just me.
So somebody can like have Aaron direct something so he can start working on this on the
Listen, I have many ideas for many versions of many different shows. So,
Yeah, but I'm
yeah.
saying somebody can build the resume up. So this way you when you go, "Oh, hey, I want to take a stab at Allegiance." They'll be like, "Here's all the
Yep. Yep.
money." And if you want to talk more about Allegiance, go right ahead. I would love to hear your thoughts on it. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com, also on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at buttersongpod. Do you have money to throw at Aaron to rework this show? Let him know. And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we're staying in live theater for a hot second, and we'll be doing Newsies,
Ooh.
the Broadway musical.
Jesus, I saw that show 2 times on Broadway, three times at Paper Mill.
I saw it once on Broadway, and my feet were tired for those actors.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll talk more about it next episode. Aaron, thank you so much for coming back on.
Thank you.
Obviously, we have more to come, more to talk about,
Mm-hmm.
but that's for later. And everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Bye.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.